Good morning. It's good to be in God's house. Good to be alive. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. When you get to Isaiah 9, 6, those of you who can, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the birth of Jesus, and we're so thankful for this prophecy that Isaiah had given so many years ago, way before the birth of Jesus. And Father, we're so thankful, dear God, that the birth of Jesus, it's not just any birth, it's the birth of a king, the one who would give his life upon Calvary's cross, the one who gave us the greatest gift that we will ever receive. And we are truly blessed and truly grateful in our hearts today. And Father, as I preach today's message, God, you speak through me and let every word come from you. And Lord, speak to us today in a mighty way. Change us, we pray, and we give you the praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if any of you know this, you'll know that when Isaiah had wrote this prophecy, it was right around the time of 740 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, this is what I love about how God works. In the Old Testament, God was already giving these prophecies to the prophets to write in time that Jesus was about to be born. And 740 years before the fact. So they knew that the birth of Jesus was coming. It was highly anticipated. And what I want to reflect on in the message today is that Christmas, it's a time of caring and sharing. Now, last Sunday, we had a wonderful time together in service and sharing our thankfulness for what God's given us. And we had a great meal and a time of fellowship. And then the Christmas shoe boxes were delivered and other things followed. And Bill, I want to thank you also for you giving from your heart. I really do. And everybody for giving from your heart. God is so good to Boscadel Baptist Church, because everybody here is very caring and sharing. And one thing that really touches my heart, Mike and Terry, thank you for the card last week. I really appreciate that. Everybody has been given a gift. Every single one of us has a calling on our life by God. God has given each one of us an area of ministry, what I would call an area of expertise, maybe, because God has poured so many gifts. But when God made you and you became a Christian, God started a purpose inside of you, and God foresaw the things that you would be doing later in your life. See, God knew you before you were born. God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. And God knows us even to the point of death until we're carried on into heaven to be with Him for all of eternity. And God saw the hearts and the lives of the people that go to this church. And this church has been truly blessed because we have wonderful folks here at Boscadel Baptist Church. And I want all of us to always take time day in and day out to thank God for what He's given for us, what He's given to us. First thing I want to look at this morning is what caring is. Caring is having compassion for others. Jesus showed His compassion for others that were desperate in their time of need. There was a time when, or so many times, and the one thing that I want to point out is there were the lepers that came to Jesus to be healed, and when Jesus healed the lepers, they all turned and took off their own ways, but only one came back, ran back to Jesus, and thanked Him for His healing, because that one leper who had been healed and cleansed had felt the compassionate touch of Jesus. When Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus to raise him from the dead, He was showing compassion to Mary and Martha and all the friends, everybody who was gathered there. He was showing compassion because the Bible says also that Jesus wept. Jesus had a heart for others. Jesus' desire was to minister to every person in need. And that's what I have seen out of Christian people over the years, is they have a heart like Jesus. And that's a heart that every single one of us should have. We should look deep within our hearts and we should ask ourselves, do I have a heart like my Savior? Do His characteristics take a place in my life? Do I emulate what is written in the Word of God? Do I minister to others? Do I witness with my life before the lost and dying world? The compassion that was, the greatest compassion that was shown to us is when God the Father gave us His Son and Jesus gave His life. I saw a neat picture this last week, and it was a manger filled with straw, and right back behind it, there was a sign, and it said, the first king-size bed. And I thought, boy, I really like that. The first king-size bed, it was a manger, because a humble king came to give His life for you and I. Now we have to stop for a moment and think about that. We've been given a lot of gifts over the years at Christmas time, but nothing can compare to what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Him shedding His blood and giving His life for us so that we could be with Him for all of eternity in heaven, so that we could have life and have it abundantly, so that we could have joy, so that we could have a real peace. But not only that, that God, through Jesus, would show us how to love and serve and give our lives. Jesus gave His life in so many ways before the cross. He gave His life on the cross, and Jesus is still giving to us every single day until we meet Him again to be in heaven for all of eternity. And through that, Jesus is wanting you and I to give our lives to other people. I know there's a lot of people who will say, I don't know what my purpose is. Then you need to start asking God. I can tell you what your first purpose is. Your first purpose is to become a fisher of men. You are to witness and tell others about Jesus. So there's your answer right there. That's what Jesus said. That was the Great Commission that was given to every person who would follow. But we are to give our lives to people all around us, to the needy. You know what? I don't like to use the words needy and poor. I just don't. We look at them from our perspective, and society calls them poor. But you know what? I've seen people that maybe they didn't have a lot in their bank account, But that's not what matters. But in their heart, they were rich because they had Jesus. They had everything they could ever want. And they gave from their hearts. I've seen people who literally had no money give all that they had to somebody else that was in need because of their love for that person. How many of us have the kind of love that Jesus showed on the cross? How many of us would leave the comfort of our warm home to go out into a cold environment to help somebody who's broke down, to maybe to go to somebody's house, maybe their furnace quit, you know how to work on it, and to save them the money and the headache of everything, you could go fix their furnace. Or whatever it might be. There are so many different needs in our world today, but how many of us would feed somebody who's hungry? How many of us would clothe somebody who is naked? How many of us would give what we have to somebody else in need? So many times we have a lot. God gives us a lot. And what God gives us, He expects us to give. The giving just doesn't stop with you. The giving should never stop with us. We should always find a reason. We should always find somebody that we can give to as well. See, when the disciples followed Jesus, they sold everything. They gave up everything. There was one man who came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to follow you?" And Jesus said, "Go and sell all your possessions, give up everything, and come follow me." And it made the man sad, and he turned around and went back to what he had. Well, I tell you what, I sure wouldn't trust the things of this world to provide me the happiness and contentment that I need. I trust Jesus for all of that. Jesus also showed mercy toward others. When Jesus was on the cross, that was the greatest form of mercy, the greatest forgiveness, because Jesus had been beaten, mocked, cursed, cussed at, spat upon. People hated Him. People rejected Him. The disciples went and hid themselves in an upper room because they were afraid. Only a few were at the foot of Jesus' cross, but they were casting lots at the foot of Jesus' cross while He was hanging there dying. I heard a preacher say this past week that when Jesus was on the cross, He was hanging there naked. When they crucified people to a cross, they didn't have clothes on. They were naked. Jesus had been beaten on the front side of His body and to the back side, and they'd even cut His back open down to His spinal cord. And I'm saying this not to be gross, but to show you His mercy on the cross. That when Jesus had to pull Himself up on those nails, He had to go back against that cross and His spine would hit that rough. He was not given a smooth wooden cross. That cross, I guarantee you, was rough and had to have wood splinters sticking out of it. And when His back and spine went against that cross, the pain that shocked His body as He hit that just to get another breath, because He was showing mercy for you and I. He was given all that He had for you. But the greatest mercy is when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do." Because, see, we as people before salvation, we were ignorant. We didn't know God's love. We didn't know God's forgiveness. We didn't know how to show love to other people. We had no understanding. Our eyes were blinded to the things of God. Psalms 23:6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, in this life, God shows us mercy every day. When we fail Him and we come and ask, when we repent and ask for forgiveness, God shows His mercy. Because in His Word, the shed blood of Jesus paid the price, and God said that He would forgive us and that He would cast our sins as far as the east is to the west and remember them no more. Now, we remember what we've done, but by His mercy, He doesn't remember. So, living a life for the Lord, we are dwelling in His house for forever. This world is temporary and the things of it, but the things of God are eternal. God is with us every day, and He will never leave our side. The Bible says that He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. God's mercy is not a feeling. It is expressed by His actions toward us. And if we want to extend the same mercy, it's done by action. Now, there's a movie I watched when it first came out. It's called The War Room. And the Kendrick brothers made it. And I love that movie. And in the movie, I'll just do a quick paraphrase of it, of a scene. The gentleman in the movie did something wrong on his job. He stole from his company to gain more money. And he got fired. So he finally learns the error of his ways. And he gets saved. And he takes on a brand new heart and life. And he wants to be a better Christian for his wife and his daughter. He wants to show love and forgiveness and mercy to those around him. And in one scene, they're on their way as a family to a, what they call, somebody help, is it Double Dutch where they do the yeah, okay, good. I had that right. So it's a Double Dutch competition that they're heading to. And while the family's driving, this man sees the person who hated him at his former job. This man hated him so bad, and he didn't want to show ever any kind of kindness towards this guy. But as the family's driving, he looks over and he sees the man that hated him, and he's got a flat tire, and the man's on his phone, and he's got his back to him. And so the family pulls the car in behind him. And now this guy was a big, muscular dude. I mean, he had arms on him, scary looking. And he got out of his car, and he walked up to the man's car, got into the trunk, and took out a lug wrench. And he walks up to the car like this, and the guy turns around, and he sees the man that he fired, and he gets scared. And the man, without saying a word, got down on his knees, put the jack under the car, raised the car up, changed out his tire, put the new tire back on, tightened the lug wrench, put everything back in the trunk, closed his trunk, had a greasy hand, and then went to the man that was responsible for him getting fired and stuck his hand out like this. I thought, boy, if mercy was ever shown without words, it was right there. But mercy was shown without words when Jesus died and rose again. And mercy is shown to us every single day when we get up, when we go through our day, when we experience depression and sad times, when we feel heavy and alone. Mercy is shown to us because we are reminded that on the cross, Jesus gave His life, and every need, every single day is being met, and He's there with us. We are supposed to express real love for others. Real love is sacrificial. And what I, you know, what what was shared to me, what happened last Sunday, that sacrificial love, that's a blessing. And I'm so thankful that God moved in such a mighty way through that event. Real love also speaks for itself. Now, I preached this quite a few couple months back, 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecies and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which charity is love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, I preached that a few months ago. You can do everything in this world to help others, but if you do it out of self, vanity, or pride, and you're not doing it out of love, it doesn't mean a thing. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Whatever you do, make sure you're not doing it to be seen by the world. You know, the Bible talks about people who stand on a street corner and pray to be seen by others or to be heard by others. They pray with such eloquent words because they want people to think what great knowledge they have. Well, me, when I pray, I just pray what the Lord puts on my heart. I don't care how hillbilly I sound or how redneck I sound. I don't care if my actions, if I give out a yeehaw or whatever. Hey, if I do it in love, if I do it in charity, you know, if I do every charitable thing with love, then I know that God's going to bless it. And I know that God's going to return it in the way that He sees fit to do so. But yet everybody wants to go, look at what I've done. Look at what I gave to these people. Look what I done yesterday. That's what our world is filled with today. And these are the people that are filled with pride. They don't need to be slandered or cut down, but they need to be shown real love. They need to be shown that when Jesus went to the cross, it was a real love. It wasn't the nails that held Him to the cross. It was His love. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus could have done anything to avoid it going to the cross. But real love said, Father, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. Real love. And in the lives of people that we minister to, we should say, Father, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. What do I need to do? Because you know what? When God sends us to minister and help others, God will provide for every need to get the job done. I don't like to say job. To get the ministry done. God will provide everything. You know why a lot of people don't do what should be done? Because up here they're already thinking, well, I ain't got the means to do it, so I'll just skip it. If we get on our faces and pray and seek the Lord, God would provide. When Jesus fed 5,000 people, Jesus asked them, what do we have here to eat with? And they said, well, we have a couple fish and a few loaves of bread here. And Jesus blessed it and gave thanks, and they fed 5,000 people, not counting who may have else been there. And they also collected, after everybody had eaten and gotten full, they collected, how many, does anybody remember how many basketfuls? That'd be a quiz for next week. Somebody look that up. I'll ask that next week. That'd be your quiz for, there's homework. Somebody said it's the first time a preacher ever gave us homework. But anyway, they had an abundance left over. They filled up all these baskets with all the remains. See, so when we need to do something, Father, I know of somebody in need, or there's a situation sometime to happen right now. God, I need you to step in here, Lord. And you know what? When we yield ourselves to God, when we step out of the way, God steps in and God takes over and God provides. Where God guides, God provides. Lastly, sharing. We're supposed to share our faith with others. When the star appeared over Bethlehem, what did the men do, the wise men do, what the shepherds? They went and told people. They were sharing. They were sharing what they had heard. Jesus Christ is born. They followed the star, and people came from all around, and they brought gifts. They shared because they heard that the Christ child, who had been prophesied so many years before, people had been hearing that Jesus was going to be born, and finally it happened. And in the same way, Jesus wants us to share the birth of Jesus, the ministry and the life of Jesus and His love, and the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that Jesus is coming again. Jesus will take care of the needs of the hearts of those that we witness to. When we bless others, Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." See, a lot of people get so blindsided with greed or with their own understanding. People don't want to give. "Well, this is all I got, Lord. If I give it up, what'll I have left?" Well, think about the little widow lady who gave the last few coins she had. She gave it out of love, and she was blessed beyond abundance in her life. We don't know how God is going to bless us. A lot of people get the thought in their head, "Well, if I give..." See, we get the wrong thought. "If I give this, maybe I'll get a bunch of money in return." Well, that's... life ain't about money. Life ain't about how much you can accumulate. But it's giving to others. See, what Jesus has given to us, what the Lord gives us every day, it doesn't stop with you. We give it to the next person. And we bless them. And then all we say is, "Father, I thank you for the opportunity of who I got to give to today. Lord, the person that you put me in that path, thank you for that, Lord. And I pray your blessings upon them. And Father, however you choose to bless me, I receive it." And what God gives you, be thankful for it. Because when God sees that you have a cheerful heart and that you're giving in love and that you are also cheerful when you receive, God will know that He can trust you with a lot more. And God will pour more into you. I just read the verse to you from Luke 6:38. Acts 20:35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, I love that. And remember what Christmas is really about. It's Jesus' birthday. It's sharing our faith and His love and blessing others. See, I get the greatest joy. When I was a kid, my parents used to ask me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I'd give them a list a mile long. Now, I didn't get everything on the list, but boy, I tell you what, I saw they knew. Now, like I said, my parents weren't the best of their kids, but at Christmas time, they always did believe in giving to their kids. They wanted their kids to have a good Christmas, and I was thankful for that. But they always knew what I really wanted on my list, and my parents made sure that I got it. I wish they would give more love. I wish they would give more time to their kids. But hey, that's in the past. But what I've know is that what my Father's given to me, I want to give it to somebody else. I don't want to hold on to it. A lot of things I receive, I give away eventually. I see a need somewhere, and I'll give it up. I was blessed last year with something, and I received it, and then there came a time to give it up, and I gave it up. And there's sometimes I do wrestle with that. I say, "Lord, do I have to really do I have to really do this, Lord? I really don't want to." But then I have to get rid of that selfish flesh and say, "Father, You be glorified through this situation and give me the understanding." See, God wants us to give. So that's what Christmas is all about. It's caring and it's sharing. And as we start this Christmas month off, and remember, Christmas ain't just, it's not one day a year, it's every day of the year that we live it. But I want to challenge you this Christmas season. I want to challenge you to give more than you get, and you will be blessed abundantly.